was thinking today, the fact that every time I remember Paul preaching, and most of the time when I remember Peter preaching, he always brought creation and started all the way from the beginning, how we had a God who was the creator of all things, the beginning of all things, and he started his lesson or his sermon like that, the God who you worship, that you don't know who he is. I want to let you know he's the one who made everything. So tonight I'd like to be in Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. And we're just going to read about wisdom. And I believe when you fill in the blanks on this wisdom, if you really try hard, you can see Jesus Christ. If you really try hard, you can see that he was there from the beginning. He's not a created being. He's not a created creature. He was right there with the Father when the Father made all things and when all things were being done. It says, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entering of the city, and cometh in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is as the Son of Man." And we look at these things, he says, wisdom cries. Even in the beginning, we look outside, we look at everything that's out there, we see that everything out there speaks or shows us of a God or a creator, something bigger than we are. It says, wisdom cries, understand and put forth her voice. She standeth at the top of the high places, in the way of the places in the past. She cries at the gate and the entering of the city, and cometh in at the door. Unto you, O man, I call, and my voice is the sons of men. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart. In other words, the Word says, the calling of nature, the calling of everything about us says, there's a God. There's a God who has made you. There's a God who has created you. There's a God that should be glorified. There's a God that should be honored. There's a God who should be worshipped. All this is being thrown out at men. And in our day and age, in our time, we understand that only the men who God has effectually called out will get a hold of that. But the world itself is being told every day, called to every day, showed every day that there is a God. There is something higher, greater, and more powerful than they are. "Hear, for I will speak of excellent things." The Word of God speaks of excellent things. The Word of God speaks of nothing but truth. The Word of God speaks of nothing but holiness and righteousness in the way of God would act. It says, "Hear, for I will speak excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." And I would say that that's as long as I'm preaching the Bible or saying the words of God, it would be right things, righteous things. It says here, "For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." God only speaks truth. God never speaks abominable things. God speaks truth. He is truth. He is light. He is all honesty and righteousness and holiness. He says, "I speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips." God does not speak wickedness. God does not do wickedness. God is always righteous. He is always light. It says, "All the words of my mouth are righteous." And when Jesus was here and when Jesus had the men of God pen these things, everything he penned was in all righteousness. Everything he penned was in all holiness. Everything he penned was to bring sinful men to where they could worship a holy God. Everything he penned says, "I am here, I am truth, I am life, come unto me." And the door has always been open. Says, "All the words of my mouth are righteousness. There is nothing forward or perverse in them." Everything he speaks is right. Everything he speaks is honest. Everything he speaks is of purity and kindness and gentleness. Everything he picks, there's nothing forward or perverse about him. There's nothing twisted in his mannerisms. Everything he does is for our benefit, for our good, for our well-being. It says, "They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge." For us who have been born again, for us who have been born from above by God himself, These words give us understanding. These words show us the power of God. But to the one who's unsaved, the one who is uncalled forth, he does not see these things, not the way we see them. He doesn't see the things that there's a creator or a God that does things, or if he has a God, he's made him up or made him a mold out of him or a statue out of him, or he worships just the stars and the sun, the moon, everything else. He doesn't worship the one who made all of those things. He worships a thing itself. It says, they are all plain unto him that understandeth, and right to them that findeth knowledge. It says, receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. And when we remember Peter says that the blood of Jesus Christ was more precious than silver and gold. The blood of Christ Jesus was worth more than all the rubies and everything else. It says, receive my instruction and not silver. If I could get anybody or me or anybody else to understand this thing, to understand the words of God, to ask God, God, give me understanding. God, give me some knowledge more than what I had before I started today. Give me some more knowledge of you. It says, whatever knowledge God would give me would be more precious than even silver. Give me knowledge rather than gold. You see, the poorest man in the world, if he has knowledge of God, is richer than the richest man in the world with no knowledge whatsoever. It says, receive my instruction. In other words, here it is. Here's the word of God. Open it up, read it, and then receive what you have read. Receive what you've understood. I was reading in Numbers today, and I was reading in a place in Numbers that talked about the priest doing this and then a woman doing that and a husband being jealous and things like that. And my mind got sideways. I says, in the real world, it wouldn't work like that. And I stepped back and I says, but in God's world, where God's in charge, and God knows the hearts of men, and God knows the hearts of that woman, and God knows what they did and didn't do, in God's world, he can make the curse that they said he would do come true, and he would do it in purity and in holiness because he would know the hearts of that person and of that husband and of that priest. And he says, and he wouldn't be just sitting there wondering, well, I don't know if she did it or not. I'm going to pour this stuff on top of her head and we'll see what happens. Well, in God's world, if they did the thing, the law, the way it was supposed to have been done, God would have been the one making the verdict come true. God would have been the one doing it. So it says, receive my instruction. In other words, read the law, see what they say, do the things they say. Receive my instruction and believe that God is the one that has given the instruction. And because God gave the instruction, he knows how to make it work out. For wisdom is better than rubies. So we already have instruction and we have knowledge and we have wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to wisdom. In other words, every ounce of wisdom. And James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. So few times do I want to try to figure things out myself, and I ought to sit down and say, God, show me. God, open my eyes to what I ain't got here. Open my eyes to the thing I'm missing here. God, give me the wisdom to understand what I'm trying to get here. It says, wisdom is better than rubies. And all things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. Wisdom, now he's talking about I as in a personal thing. Wisdom is a person. Wisdom is a thing to be desired. It says, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. In other words, God can figure out all of our imaginations. Have we read that somewhere? We said in Romans, men have all kind of wicked imaginations and things they come up with. God can outdo our imaginations. Wisdom dwelleth with prudence and findeth out knowledge and witty inventions. God already knows what we've done before we even figured out what we did. God knows our intents. God knows our desires. God knows the facts of our heart. God knows our feelings. Even we don't even understand them ourselves. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And I have to look at myself when I say that. Do I always hate evil? And I'd have to say I fail at that. I don't always hate evil. I don't always put the thing I ought to hate against me. It says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. It didn't say to dislike it a little bit. It didn't say to stay away from it. It says to hate evil. That's kind of like God loves the sinner, but He hates the sin. No. If you're sinning, He hates that. He hates evil. Pride. He hates pride. And we know in the few chapters ahead, He says, pride He hates, and arrogancy, and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. In other words, He don't even like it when I speak smart mouthed. When I have an arrogant attitude, or when I think I know more than I'm supposed to know. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. In other words, there's a time when I need to just shut up. There's a time when I need to say, I need to see better, I need to hear better, I need to think longer, but I need to keep my mouth shut. It says here, that I ought to be, that arrogancy and the evil way and the forward mouth do I hate. He says, counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. So whenever I'm getting ready to run my mouth, maybe you ought to say, wait a minute, Lord, give me the patience I need. Give me the understanding I need. Let me shut up. Let me decide what I need to say right. Let me to figure out how I'm going to do this thing. He says, counsel is mine. So if counsel is God's, and it'd be a good thing to take wise counsel. It'd be a good thing to step back sometime and say, Lord, help me figure out what I really need to do. Help me figure out what I really should do. It says, counsel is mine. In other words, the counsel is there. We can go to the throne room of God anytime as Christians. Anytime we need counsel, we can stop at the prayer closet and lay our stuff out before a holy God and say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. Give me the right answer. Yeah. And I am understanding, and I have strength. He has the understanding to lead us through. He has the strength to bring us along. He is understanding. He's not only understanding as being understanding, but He has it already all figured out. And if He's already got it all figured out, He didn't even have to figure it out. He already knew it. So if He already knew it, the best thing I can do is listen to what He's got to say. He says, and He has strength. I can remember many a time where I cried myself to sleep not knowing what I was going to do. And I cried myself to sleep praying to God, saying, Lord, give me the answer in the morning. Oh, those days were sweet. I didn't realize how sweet they were at the time, but now I realize how sweet it was that I could spend time, as David did, crying on his bed, as David did, flipping and flopping on his bed, crying out to God for sweet wisdom, for sweet understanding, for sweet counsel. And then when the daylight broke, he said, joy cometh in the morning. He says, By me, kings reign. By this God, this one who sets things up, the one who sets up governments, the one who sets up principalities, the one who sets up powers. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. In other words, the whole governmental system runs because of what God has decreed and what God has said and what God does. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. There's not a single government anywhere, even the devil's bunch, that are not under the power of God. Even the principalities, even those fallen angels, everything is under the authority of Jesus Christ Himself, even now. He says, I love them that love me. And I understand that I could not love Him until He first loved me. But He says, I love them that love me. So if I have love for Him now, I know He exceptionally, exceedingly loves me. He says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Look for God. Search for God. Hunt for God. You say, well, He's only going to save His own, right? But if He's put it in your heart to start looking, start searching, start thinking to try to find Him, undoubtedly He's doing a work already. He's working with you. Or not with you, for you. He says, riches and honor are with me. Man, if we could just get close to God, if we could just understand that everything there is possible that we could have is with God, is with Christ. It says, riches and honor are with me. In other words, God sets us on the pedestals or the places where He'd have us be. He gives us our riches in heaven. He gives us our honor in heaven. He puts us in the seat and the status where we're going to be. We don't just get to go up there and say, I'll have that room right there. No, He's already got it picked out. You have a room, you have a room, you have a room, you have a place. He's everyone got us all fixed up with a place that was designed especially for us. He says, riches and honor with me, yea, durable riches and righteousness. In other words, the riches that He has do not rust. They do not fade away. They do not vanish. He says, I have durable riches. In other words, the things we get from God will last forever. They don't go away. They'll stay with us. He says, and righteousness. I have been given the righteousness of Christ. And I need to walk righteously because of it. It says, my fruit is better than gold. In other words, the fruits. We can't look at our fruits as in, have we done any fruit for God? Have we bear anything for God? Have we done any works that would bring fruitfulness? He says, my fruit, God's fruit, is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. My revenue than choice silver. Everything about Him is better than the best that we could ever imagine on this earth. He says, my fruit is better than gold. My revenue, my stuff is better than choice silver. He said, I lead in the paths of righteousness. God will never lead us down the wrong street. He says, I lead in the paths of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of judgment. In other words, He leads us in the correct path, and He corrects us when we get out of step with Him. He brings us along. He says, I lead in the paths of righteousness. Everything about God is right. Everything about God is holy. Everything about God is righteous. And He only leads us in the paths that would bring us to pureness and to holiness and to righteousness along with Him. He only leads us in the right direction. And when we as children get out of step with Him, He corrects us. He chastens us. In fact, that's how we know we are walking with Him, because if we start walking sideways and we're getting no correction, we know we're in trouble. Because He says, I will correct every son. I will correct every child. So if we're walking out of whack with God and there's no correction going on, you need to be crying out for some mercy. You need to be crying out for some help. It says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance. He didn't say, I hope they get it. He didn't say they might get it. He says, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. In one place in the Bible, it says that He would open up the windows of heaven and pour out more blessing than they could get a hold of. If we have a God who has abundant grace, we have a God that has abundant stuff, we have a God that has abundant riches, He says, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance. He says, I will make it happen. It's going to happen. Now, if we've got our mind in the right place in spiritual things and godly things and stuff like that, we'll start seeing some of this stuff He's talking about. If we're looking for earthly stuff, we're probably not going to miss it. But it says, if we're looking for godly stuff, if we're laying up our treasures in heaven where the moth and the rust and the stuff can't get to it, He says, I will cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. Man, if we're loving God, if we're following after God, He's going to make sure that we get blessings upon blessings upon blessings. I think our problem, or my problem, is I don't recognize the blessings and be thankful for them. He's blessed me with so many things that I just take for granted. I just take it and just don't even count you many blessings. I don't even count them up. I just take them for granted. Man, if I would just take time and ponder the blessings. Take time and be thankful for just what I do have. It would take us all night long just to say thank you for what happened today, if we really took an account of everything that happened today. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before the works of old. says, before the very creations, he says, I was there. He says, the Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way before the works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ere there earth was. In other words, we're talking about this wisdom, and I'm thinking Christ Jesus is the wisdom of God. He says this wisdom has always been there, has always existed. He was not a created thing. It was always in God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit were always together. He says, I was set up from everlasting, the beginning ever the earth was. Jesus Christ was going to be Lord of Lords, King of Kings from the get-go. When there was no depths, in other words, before the waters, before the earth, before the foundations, before anything was set, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains to abound with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was, I brought forth. In other words, before there was anything. That's kind of the way Paul preached. Before anything there was, before you started hunting a godless hunt, there was already a God to be worshipped. There was already a God who was available. There was already a God in existence. There was already a God before there was anything else ever done. He says, before there was any depths, before there was, I was brought forth, there was no fountains abounding with water. Before even the springs, and before the rivers, and before the stuff that came down that we all take for granted right now, before any of those things were, He was. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was brought forth, before there was even mountains, and before there was even hills, before there was even trees and grass on these things, He was. While as yet I had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest parts of the dust of the world, when He prepared the heavens, says, I was there. Now, we understand when it says in the beginning, God spoke and He made these things. We understand that in the beginning when God spoke, the spoken Word was Jesus Christ Himself, the Word of God. He says, when He made these things, when He prepared the heavens, when He did these things, I was there. Would that not have been a magnificent thing to have been there when the Word of God just made everything shake and the planets spin out into their places and the stars fall out of their places and then all of a sudden from nothingness whole trees popped up. I didn't say a plant. I said a whole full-grown tree bearing fruit. And then a full-grown cow and a full-grown elk and a full-grown deer ready to do business. He says, when He prepared the heavens, I was there. When set forth the compass upon the face of the depths. Now he's talking geometry there. The compass around the face of the depths. Before those things were taken care of, before any of the measurements, before the size of a leaf, before the size of a branch, before a grain of sand was measured, He was right there because He was the measurer of it. He says, when He established the clouds. Can you imagine a cloud? Just think about a cloud for just a second. Now this baffles me. You could take a cloud. It floats over our head. We see them go by all the time. Some a little faster. Some a little slower. Some of them real dark and full of lightning and thunder and everything else. Some of them are so full of water. You can just look up there. You can just about see the water. Now, water weighs about 8 pounds a gallon. Now, a cloud flies over us. If you take an 8-pound bucket and throw it up in the air, you better get out of the way because it's coming down just like that. And yet, a cloud with millions of gallons can float over our head and not even sink an inch until it gets to the place where God wants to release that water at. It says, that's just more than I can get a hold of, just a cloud. That millions and millions, that'd be 800 billions of pounds of water just floating along, minding its own business until it gets to where it's got to go. It says, when he established the clouds above. That was a masterful thing, just a cloud. Clouds above. When he strengthened the fountains of the deep. And think about that. These springs and these fountains of water, they bubble up out of the ground and they flow down to a river and then they flow down to the ocean. The ocean never gets overfilled. And unless there's a drought or something, those springs never quit running water. They just steady keep doing their thing. Now, I understand the evaporation. It goes into a water table and stuff. That's what scientists like to do anyways. But the thing is, what makes this water decide it just wants to spew up here and run down there? It says here, even the fountains of the deep. When he gave the sea his decrees, and we know that decree is talking about it could pass this far up on the bank. And we understand hurricanes, sometimes they go a little bit farther during a storm. But on the most part, the sea only goes so far up the beach, and it goes back. It only goes so far up the beach, and it goes. It doesn't matter how much it roars or how big the waves get or whatever. It'll go just so far, and then it rolls right back in. Says God even gave the disease his decrees that the waters should not pass his commandment when he appointed the foundations of the earth. It says God said that. Amen. God is the one that says, here's how far you will go and no farther. Here's how far you will go and that's it. And the seas, as big as they are, the oceans, as big as they are, obey God. They're obedient to God. It says, when I was by him, as one brought up with him, I was daily his delight. In other words, Jesus Christ and God the Father have always been a delight to each other. They were not lonely up there in heaven. They were not worried about companionship. They had each other. He says, I was his delight. Man. The Son was the delight of the Father. The Son always was in obedience to the Father. He says, when I was by him, as one that was with him, brought up with him, in other words, like a child brought up with him, I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. He was always taking pleasure in the Father, and the Father was always taking delight in the Son, and they were happy. They're still happy. It says, rejoice in the habitable parts of the earth. Rejoice. We, as children of God, we as the created of God, we as the ones who have been given these things to enjoy, we really need to spend some time enjoying some of this stuff. In fact, it says we've been given, when we work and when we bring home our paycheck, we're allowed to enjoy it in a godly manner, mind you, in a godly sense. But we're allowed to have fun. We're allowed to have enjoyment. We're allowed to enjoy our food and our fruit and our work. We're allowed to do that because God says we can do that. He says enjoy these things. So we should not keep it all stiff-necked and not enjoy it. But we should, if God says enjoy it, we should enjoy it. He says, rejoice in the habitable parts of the earth. And my delights were with the Son of Man. God gives us these things to give us joy. Now, of course, man tries to corrupt what God gives him and make it into something that ain't supposed to. But he says, rejoice in the habitable parts of the earth. My delight was with the sons of men. God fixed these things up. I especially like air conditioning. I found that out the other day when mine quit. I really like air conditioning. He gave me that to enjoy, so I kick her down. I want that thing to frost. I enjoy it all I can get. I like my refrigerator. It's got ice water in it. I like my shower. It's cool. You see, he gives us these things to enjoy. He gives us these things to have delights in. Now, therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. For blessed are they that keep my ways. Now, these things that he gives us, we're under a responsibility to keep his commandments and to keep his ways and to keep his understandings that he teaches us. that we can enjoy them in the correct manners. It says, hearken. He says, now therefore, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. There's more blessing in keeping God's ways than going against God. There's more blessing in following God's rule than going against God's rule. It says there's more blessing in worshiping God and praising God and telling other folks about God than not so. It says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. One of my very first things is to hear it, to see the wisdom in it, and then to refuse it not. In other words, if God is showing me something, I need to learn how to get a hold of it. I need to hear it, which is what a lot of us do. We hear it and then we let it slide on out the other side. But I need to not only just hear it, but I need to hang on to it. I need to get a hold of it. He says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. So often when I was growing up, my daddy would tell me some good things and I said, oh, that sounds pretty good. And then I'd say, oh, but I ain't going to do that. And I'd get me a little spanking or something down the road. I would refuse it. But if I'd have been a wise child, when I heard the wise wisdom, instead of getting the spanking, I would have took the instruction. I would have grew in the instruction. And I would have been purposeful. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man that heareth me. In other words, the one who can actually hear the words of God, the one who can actually get understanding from God, the one who seeks after God, the one who's trusting in God, the one who's obedient to God. He says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates. That's not a once a month thing. That's not a once a year thing. That's daily at my gates. He says, blessed is the man that heareth me and is watching at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. In other words, I need to be as close to God as I can get. I need to get a hold of God's Word as much as I can. I need to grasp this thing. I need to try to seal it inside my heart. I need to try to get understanding of it, that I am as close to God as I can ever get. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life. Whosoever seeks after God, whosoever trusts after God, whosoever diligently, with his whole heart, with his whole mind, with his whole body, with his whole soul, is seeking after the wisdom of God, he says, that man has life. That man has life. And shall obtain favor of the Lord. Now we understand that a saved man has obtained favor of the Lord. A saved man has abilities that a lost man does not have here. A saved man has all kind of stuff that God has given him to understand these things with. He says, well, I can say only here, those ones that sought God were someone that God had already been dealing with, seeking with. It says, for whosoever findeth me, or findeth me, findeth life. You see, I didn't find God. And most likely you didn't find God either. Most likely somebody came to where you was, and I'm going to say God came to where you was, wherever you were doing that day, and God opened your heart, showed you what you needed, and wisdom kicked in, grace kicked in, and you received it. It says, whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. In other words, if I refuse this wisdom, if I refuse this knowledge, if I refuse this understanding, if I refuse all the precepts of God, it says, I wrongeth or hurt my own soul. He says, he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that they that hate me love death. In other words, without receiving the instruction, without receiving the wisdom, without receiving the understanding, it tells me that I love death. It tells me that I actually hate God. And unless God makes the difference in my soul, I will continue to hate God. He says, but he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. The lost man, whether he believes it or not, Whether he thinks he's enjoying life or not, he loves death. And unless God intervenes in his life, unless God pours out his mercy and grace upon that individual, he will go into death happy. He will actually think he's had a good life as he's going towards death. He says, but he that sinneth against me, says, the one that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. With all the things that are in the world that can show that there's a holy God, with all the things that show about a creator, with all the things that are out there, the man can never stand before God and say, I did not know. I did not think you were there. Oh, he might lie to himself and deceive himself and make me want to say that, but in his heart, he knows that there is a God. I know that because the Bible says God has put it in every man's heart to know there is a God. He says, but the one that sinneth against me, the one who goes against God on purpose, the one that goes against God intentionally, it says, that man wrongeth his own soul. And there's a time and a place where God will totally turn that man over to reprobation, and that man will never, ever, ever be saved. And I've been reading a sermon by Jonathan Edwards in Numbers where they brought the children out. And he brought the children all the way to the promised land. He sent the spies into the promised land. And the whole time they were murmuring and murmuring and murmuring and murmuring. And when the spies came back, 10 of them says, oh, no, 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 we can't go. And 2 says, yes, we can. The 2 that said, yes, we can, they made it to the promised land. But the ones that murmured and murmured, even though God brought them out of Egypt, even though God brought them across the desert, even though God brought them right to the promised land, he says, they will not enter into my rest. They murmured and sinned until they sinned it away. Now, that's not saying God didn't know who he had saved and who he didn't. That's because God knows exactly who he would save. But these people that he brought out, he showed them kindness. He showed them love. He even showed them his great powers. And still, they refused to obey God. They sinned against their own souls. And they died in the wilderness. They never entered into God's rest. In Hebrews it says, they enter not in because of unbelief. Even with God showing them everything to their face, they would not believe. They had manna to the full and they murmured. They had water at Meribah and they murmured. They come across the Red Sea. When they were right at the Red Sea, before they opened up the sea, they murmured. Every place they went, they murmured. And finally God says, you murmured enough. You'll die in the desert. You would not believe me. So there you go. The man that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. I need to be careful that I don't murmur. I need to be careful that when I get good instruction that I don't say, well, that's not for me. That belongs to that guy behind me. That belongs to the guy back there. That belongs to the one over here. I need to look at these things and say, first of all, I need to say, let me own this verse before I pass it on back. Let me own the wisdom. Let me own the understanding. Let me see if I am the one you're talking about that's murmuring. Let me see if I am the one that's talking about this sinning. Let me see if I am the one before I diligently just, that was for somebody else. That wasn't for me. Because as far as I can tell, every single verse in this book is for me. I may not like it, but every verse, every chapter, everything in this book is for me. This is a letter to me from God. It says in verse 10, receive my instruction. Receive my instruction. He says, I have wisdom and prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. It says, fear the Lord and hate evil, pride, arrogance in the evil way. We need to take it to heart, to see what God is actually saying and apply it to me. I need to always apply it to me first. And most of the time, if I apply it to me, there ain't nobody else going to get much of it. Because there ain't no room for it. I can own most of what I do wrong. It's right here. When I take these things and look at them and I say, I need to be watching myself in these areas. I need to take care of these things. And if I take care of this hating evil, if I take care of this pride, if I take care of this arrogance, if I take care of this evil way, if I take care of my forward mouth, if I take care of those things, I won't have much to say about nobody else. Because I'll be humbling myself in front of God and say, God, you're right, I am the one. You're right, I am the one in need. Lord, help me to get this wisdom. Help me to get this understanding. Help me to get this good counsel that I need, that I might understand and have strength. And understand now, even to now, that none of these things can we do without the grace of God. None of these things can we do without God intervening in our lives. So if there's anybody here that hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, first of all, I'd say you must understand that Jesus Christ came and lived a perfect life, a sinless life, and He lived it that all who would believe in Him might have life. And I mean not might as in hope so, but in might as with power. They might have a life eternal because He, when He died on that cross, He justified them. I read that last night, justified as being now justified. Right this moment, if you believe, you are now justified. Then it says He was the atonement. He says now the atonement. In other words, I'm not waiting for a future atonement. I'm not waiting for something to happen later. My atonement happened at the cross. My atonement happened when Jesus Christ died. My atonement is that I must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and that He died for me. And if you believe that, you believe what it means to be saved. And if you believe that, you believe that Christ died for you. In fact, you are saved. And if you are saved and yet never told nobody, how about tell somebody tonight? Dismiss us, Brother George.